In these last days, the Bible predicts a turning away from biblical truth. In order to combat false teachings that are running rampant and a growing lack of biblical literacy, Behold Israel provides weekly public readings of Scripture to equip you with the pure Word of God, read in an international community with interaction and application. Each week, we host different guests from all walks of life. Original readings can be found on our Behold Israel community channel on YouTube or on our Facebook channel. These are audio versions created to make it convenient for your busy schedule. Now, on to our readings.
Shalom lekulchem. This is Pastor Mike Golay here, coming at you with tonight's PRS. By the way, shalom lekulchem, it's Hebrew for hello to all of you. With us tonight, Jason, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing well.
Excellent. Hey, folks, we initiated last week Zechariah, how appropriate for the times that we live in. And we are going to close out John, the Gospel of John tonight. Very exciting. I was in Israel for the past 2 weeks, and I am very happy to report Behold Israel Connect is coming together. Right now, as we speak, we were assembling the receptionist desk, and the kitchen is being assembled, and the bookshelf is there. The stage is there. We're making new hires. And if you look at the new graphics, even here for the past few months, that was done by a BI Connect member over there in Israel. This particular case, it's Ariel Tzalfati. You guessed it. That's Amir's firstborn son, who also works for us now. Tonight, we're going to jump straight in and read. We're going to read four chapters from Zechariah and close out the last two chapters in the Gospel of John. These are rather short chapters in Zechariah. We're going to pause for comments and prayer for Israel. Israel is going through a war, as you know. And follow us on Telegram. The IDF has been making some swift retribution for the sheer evil that is facing them. So, Jason, will you lead us in prayer? And we're going to jump straight into the text.
Yeah, our Lord, we thank you for a time to gather together and worship through the reading of your word. God, you're perfect. You sustain us. You uphold your word, and it never returns void, like the prophet Isaiah says. God, we thank you for this allotted portion of time where we can look to you through the reading of your word, Lord, to put you back in the focal point of our lives for today. We ask that your spirit would guide us, give us wisdom, and anoint the reading of your word. God, because of the lie, there's no other document like what's before us. There never has been, nor will there ever be. So we ask that you would bless this time, that you pierce our hearts with your powerful words. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Now is that time to share this with your Bible-loving friends and family members. Just click the share button, send it to them, text them even. Get them on in here. We are going to pray. We're going to hear God's word. We're going to be challenged. Our mind, emotions, and will be submitted to the Spirit of God. All of us are going to walk away better knowing and having a deeper intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ and understanding his word. So it's time to share. And also, secondly, I want all of you to consider writing in the chat, whether you're on Facebook or YouTube. As you observe what's going on in these texts, share with what the Lord is doing in your heart so we can all benefit, because I'm going to be putting up the chat later. We won't be able to capture all of the comments. And then we're going to pause and we're going to pray for Israel twice as well. Are you ready? Are you ready? Here we go. Zechariah chapter 3. This is the vision of the high priest. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. By the way, did you know the word Satan in Hebrew means oppose or opposition? And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. Now pay attention, friends. Watch this. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and they put clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Think about what that symbolizes here. Okay, let's continue. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house, and likewise have charge of my courts. I will give you places to walk among those who stand here. Hear, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon the stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts. And I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree." Two questions that I'd love for you guys to post into the chat is, who is this branch? And what day is the removal of the iniquity? I'm not going to comment. I'm going to let you. Now, let's go on over to Zechariah chapter 4, Jason.
"Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of his sleep. He said to me, 'What do you see?' So I said, 'I am looking. There is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl, the other at its left.' So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, 'What are these, my lord?' The angel who talked with me answered and said, 'Do you not know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my lord.' So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, 'Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. He shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts is me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord which stand to and fro throughout the whole earth.' Then I answered and said to him, 'What are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at its left?' And I further answered and said to him, 'What are these two olive branches that drip to the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains?' And he answered and said, 'Do you not know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my lord.' So he said, 'These are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth.'"
All right, classic apocalyptic literature and the literary tactics that are being used here. And all these symbols represent something. But we're going to keep going, and we're going to go to chapter 5. Chapter 5. Again, there's this vision of a flying scroll. Notice the deployment of the theme of seven and some of this imagery, and then compare it with the book of Revelation. It's that genre, folks. And it's interesting that Joshua, the son of Joshua, the high priest, in Hebrew, Yehoshua is a, it really literally means in Hebrew, Yahweh saves. And then Zerubbabel is Zerul, the scattered seed of Babel. And the prophecy of Zechariah and many of the exilic or post-exilic prophets prophesied of Israel's future, and that they would be redeemed from Babylon. And the seed of the remnant that would come from Babylon was literally the name of Zerubbabel. And so, coincidence, you decide. You'll find that when you read the Hebraic literature, the names of people often represent the state of what the people are going through or its future. And some people even doubt that those were their real names because it's too coincidental of the circumstances that they are dealing with. Now, chapter 5. Then I turned and raised my eyes and saw there was there a flying scroll. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I answered, "I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits and its width 10 cubits. What's a cubit? It's the size of the finger to the elbow. So it gives you a context there. Then he said to me, Then he said to me, "This is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth. Every thief shall be expelled according to this side of the scroll, and every perjurer shall be expelled according to that side of it. I will send out a curse, says the Lord of hosts. I shall enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. It shall remain in the midst of this house and consume it with its timber and stones." Then the angel who talked with me came out and said to me, "Lift your eyes now and see what this is that goes forth." So I asked, "What is it?" I would be asking the same question, folks, and if you're honest, I bet you would too. And he said, "It is a basket that is going forth." He also said, "This is their resemblance throughout the earth. Here is a lead disc lifted up, and this is a woman sitting inside the basket." Then he said, "This is wickedness." And he thrust her down into the basket, threw the lead over its mouth. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were two women coming with the wind in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the basket between earth and heaven. So I said to the angel who talked with me, "Where are they carrying the basket?" And he said to me, "To build a house for it in the land of Shinar. When it is ready, the basket will be set there on its base." But we're not done yet, folks. Let's go on over to chapter 6, Jason.
Then I turned and raised my eyes and looked, and behold, four chariots were coming from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of bronze. With the first chariot were red horses, with the second chariot, black horses, with the third chariot, white horses, and with the fourth chariot, dappled horses, strong steeds. Then I answered and said to the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my lord?" And the angel answered and said to me, "These are the four spirits of heaven who go out from their station before the Lord of all the earth. The one with the black horses is going to the north country. The white are going after them, and the dappled are going toward the south country." Then the strong steeds went out, eager to go, they might walk to and fro throughout the earth. And he said, "Go, walk to and fro throughout the earth." So they walked to and fro throughout the earth. And he called to me and spoke to me, saying, "See, those who go toward the north country have given rest to my spirit in the north country." Then the word of the Lord came to me, "Receive the gift from the captives, from Hildai, Tobijah, and Jediah, who have come from Babylon. Go enter the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Take the silver gold, make an elaborate crown, and set it on the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Then speak to him, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, the man whose name is the branch, from his place he shall branch out. He shall build the temple of the Lord. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between both them both. Now the elaborate crown shall be for a memorial in the temple of the Lord for Helem, Tobijah, Jediah, and Hen the son of Zephaniah. Even those from afar shall come and build the temple of the Lord. Then you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And this shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God."
Who is the branch? When is this temple coming? And what is the day? That'll be interesting to see here in the chat, which I'm going to open up right now. Now, Jason, we're looking at this as a kind of a devotional time here too. So what's something that you take away?
I guess something that just sticks out to me is the reality that God couldn't be any clearer. I know that this is a prophetic dialogue, but just read it for what it is. And we continue to read the rest of the scriptures. It comes abundantly clear that God's communicating clearly about what he intended to do far in advance, not just to provide salvation, to provide hope for the people, that he has a plan for the future to wipe away iniquity and restore his people. And he's speaking it very clearly through the prophets.
Well, if you look at the chat, you all are nailing it. Very proud of you all. You know, consider, put yourself in the place of the ancient Israelite that has just come back from exile in Babylon for 70 years. It's at least two, even three generations, okay? You know, the temple area was a heap. You can follow up on that whole story with Ezra and Nehemiah and how they had to rebuild it. And it's a big job. People were wondering, what's the future? Is there still hope for us? Have we messed things up beyond repair? And a lot of people had pity. A lot of people thought they were unworthy of God's promises from that point on. And then we just read that God is excited that there's nothing that these people could have done to revoke his covenant. And if that was true then, with the same God today, then it's true now. And I want to look straight into your face, my friends. There's not a single person here that is exempt from God's grace or unworthy of it. If you think you've committed any kind of sin or mistakes that is unredeemable, of course, we always have consequences in this life, but if there's any mistake you've made and you feel that you're unworthy of God's calling, what I say to people is then you are minimizing the power of the blood on the cross. Don't do it. This is literally talking about the day when Israel will get their king back in one day. He will save them. Says that later in the chapter ahead, so we know that. But and many of you have read this before, so you already know the answers. But it's a beautiful, beautiful reminder for you and me. God has his insurance policy that he does not revoke for ancient Israel. And we see a modern Israel right now fighting for its life and its existence. And they're still there and they will remain there. And you can bet your soul on the word of God and Jesus Christ and his redemptive power. So, right now, I want every one of you to consider sharing this with a friend that has been eager to pray for Israel. We're going to pray for Israel right now briefly. We're going to stop. We're going to pray. As you know, if you're following Telegram, Israel has struck Damascus and knocked out many of the Iranian leaders that were engineers of this terror attack and other terror attacks that would have happened. Right now, Israel is surveying the entire north, and they're making regular strikes. When I was there last week with Amir, it was constant with F-16s in the Ramat David Air Force Base up in the north. You see these guys fly off. All of the stations of the wings were packed with ordnance, and then they'd come flying back over and over again. Empty wings, empty stations. We do not rejoice in death, but we do rejoice when righteousness and justice goes forth, and when people are hell-bent on evil and even demonized, it has to be stopped. And we know that Israel is the apple of God's eye today, tomorrow, and their Messiah, which is your Messiah, will come back in power, and that day is very near. Jason, I'm going to ask you just to lead us in a time of prayer for Israel. Have the Lord guide you, and I would love for each one of you to write your prayers right now. I want these prayers to be visible to every viewer that watches this after. And then we're going to pick up again, read the last two chapters of John, and do the same thing over and over, over again, my friends. But Jason, lead us, brother.
Yes, Lord, something that hits me now is, you know, judgment starts in the house of the Lord. And I just think about a church that is slumbering, a church that is asleep concerning what you're doing through the nation of Israel today and how you're you are actively fulfilling what you said you would do thousands of years ago. You're actively fulfilling before the world's eyes and your bride's, the church's eyes in it today. And yet there's so much of the church that doesn't see it. So I pray, first of all, Lord, that the church would arise out of its slumber in this regard and understand that you are a covenant keeping God. And Lord, I know that many are skeptical because while Israel rejected the promises of God, Israel fell short. Well, if that was the case, Lord, like the psalmist says, if you numbered our sins, who could stand? Your faithfulness is not contingent on our righteousness. Your faithfulness is contingent on your perfect character. And it's in that that we trust for our salvation in your son, Jesus. And it's in that we trust for the eventual salvation of the nation of Israel. Lord, we ask that you would supernaturally intervene on behalf of your chosen nation. It's easy to look at, people like to point out imperfections today. Well, they were imperfect throughout the entire record of scripture, yet you love them and you set your name there. You're faithful towards them. You're faithful forever. We ask that you would well equip the military, government leaders to have wisdom that's different than the rest of the countries, not just in their region, but in this world, that stands out, that shows, that instills a fear throughout the world that there is a God over the nation of Israel. And not only that there is a God over the nation of Israel, but that the God of Israel is the only true God because he acts on behalf of his people. You know, Lord, we're burdened for the people of Israel too. And I just can't help but think of, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, while Israel was at its worst, when you saw all that Israel was going to become and the things they would become ensnared to, you made an everlasting covenant with. You're an awesome God. We thank you for the blood of your son that makes us worthy before you. The only thing that makes us worthy. And he's the only person who will make the Jewish people worthy before you too. And we pray that they would be burdened throughout this process, that throughout this, the people of Israel would come to see that their God lives and works on their behalf. And then at all of this, they would come to understand the saving knowledge of the truth in Messiah Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I'm looking at, as Jason was praying, I was also praying with you all as you're writing your comments in the chat. I am literally overwhelmed. You know, it was October 7th, and today is now the 4th of April. Most people are continuing with their lives. They've forgotten about this. They don't care about it anymore. Look at our government in the United States. It's not only that they don't necessarily appear to care about it, but they're trying to push Israel to do the worst possible thing, which is a ceasefire, which allows the enemies, the evil terrorists, to rearm and replan their next shenanigan. And as you can see, they're not finished with their hate for Israel. Look at the attacks even recently. Unbelievable. So this is a PRS. We're going to come back to this in a minute. I got to be careful not to, got to stay in the lane, my friends. We're going to go back to reading now. Now, we're going to go to John's gospel and stick with us because there's going to be another chance at the end of these two chapters. We're again going to take some insights and we're going to pray again. So make your way on over to John chapter 20, and it starts like this. This is one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. Shivers run down my spine because this is the empty tomb, and how appropriate. We just had Easter Sunday, just this last Sunday. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. You see the excitement they had? And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been round his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. I like that phrase, he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" I just had a shiver go down my spine, folks. This is powerful. She supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God." That relational fact he establishes. How exciting. Unprecedented. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then that's the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. That's Sunday, first day of the week. And the Hebrew week, Yom Rishon, is day one. It's not Sunday, it's day one. And Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Revi'i. In the Hebrew calendar, it's first day, second day, all the way to sixth day. And then the seventh day is called Shabbat. Just a little bit of resource there for you. Being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, "Again, peace to you. As the Father sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Be a forgiving person, okay? Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." And he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and I put my hand in his side, I will not believe." For all you scientists out there that need forensic proof, you're not the only one, and this guy precedes you by almost 2,000 years. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and he said, "Peace to you." Notice that's the third time he said that. Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." Isn't that beautiful? Jesus initiated the forensic proof to the doubter that wanted it, and he'll do the same to you. And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." That's all he needed. He needed forensic proof, and God provided it because he wanted it. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. And now we finish off chapter 21.
After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself, Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. He said, we are going with you also. They went out, immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered to him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be. Amen.
Amen. Hey, folks, do you know that in the Jewish culture, the power of three establishes an absolute? So like in modern Israel, if you say to somebody, hello, how are you doing? The question, how are you doing? Typically, people say, okay, I'm doing fine. Second time, you say, so how are you doing? You know, you wait a few seconds. It's very typical. And, you know, the normal response is, yeah, I'm doing okay. But if you ask that third time, it's in the mentality that person really wants to know how you're doing. It's not just a form of greeting. And that's when you're going to get the honest answer. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And it was the 3rd time that the cock crowed, because in the Hebraic mind at that time and throughout its history, the power of 3 was absolute. Many of the prophets, when they spoke, they'd say the same prophecy 3 times. And it goes on and on with multiple examples. How many times did Jesus appear to them in a resurrected state right before this conversation? Did you notice? 3 times. In other words, this time, he wanted them to be absolutely 100% certain that he was alive and resurrected. How many times did Jesus ask Peter if Peter loved him? 3 times. The first 2 were the word agape, unconditional love, which Peter responded with, I phileo you, that is the brotherly love, because he knew he was not worthy in his own mind of loving Jesus unconditionally because he knew he had failed. And Jesus had already embedded the forgiveness by saying, lead, lead. And then the 3rd time, Jesus comes to his level and says, do you phileo me? And that's why it says he was grieved that he asked the 3rd time. Do you brotherly love me? And Peter says, you know that I do. I brotherly love you. He says, lead. The power of 3. Peter became one of the greatest apostles of all. And we come back to the message of Zechariah. There's nothing you can do to mess up God's love and his grace for you. There's nothing you can do. If we just follow and maximize the calling, that is the calling that we are all called to. Sometimes, isn't it weird that although we know Jesus forgives us, we still have to forgive ourselves? And that's what we call put to death the flesh and the pride. I'm going to open up the chat room now. Jason, what's your takeaway from this? And then I want every one of you to write down your insights so we can all benefit. And I want you to write down your prayers in the chat room for Israel, for the Jewish people. And as you do that, Jason, what was your takeaway?
Yeah, for me, I've always really loved those last 2 passages in the Gospel of John. I just feel like you get sense of commission without that word being used when you read those 2, because the Lord is risen. He hasn't ascended yet, but it's what's coming next. But he's now showing himself to the disciples. And we know from the other gospels that it was in these days that he appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He's just not only is, it seems like in every occurrence, no one actually knows who he is right away. But what I love about this passage is, though they weren't sure right away, when he did exactly what they knew Jesus to be capable of doing and the things he had done in his earthly ministry with the bread, with the fish, with the casting of the net, telling them where to cast it, is now there were 0 doubts. And what you see that follows this particular passage is you see them go out with boldness, not without hindrances, not without confrontations, not without challenges, but they go out boldly. And most of them do die because of the reality of they know their Christ to be alive and ascended to the Father. And I just love it because you look back in history now and people don't die for a lie. Jesus didn't die for a lie and his followers did not die for a lie. And today we look at this same commissioning, we can go forward with the same boldness because those who have gone before us saw the resurrected Christ. And that's what our faith is established in absolute fact. It's not hoping it worked out, not wishing, taking a stab in the dark, but those who went before us saw our resurrected Lord, and we have that confidence.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just blown away at the richness of these last 2 chapters of John. I noticed that one of you wrote, Jesus appeared to them the 3rd time, establishing an absolute. That's exactly what we were saying here, is that he needed them to understand, most of all, Thomas, who was the forensic doubter. And God is very interested in coming to your level, like he did with the version, the Greek word of love. He went from agape to phileo to meet Peter where he was at with the level of love that he could give to Jesus, knowing that he had just denied him 3 times, establishing an absolute of denial, by the way. And Jesus' redemption was three times of love and meeting him in the ability of how much Peter could love him back. Jesus will meet you at your level of love that you can give. Now, pray, 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 praying that the Jewish people and Malone come to know Jesus as their Messiah. I'm just going to read these and we're just going to all pray together as I read these. Brenda Monson, please keep the IDF safe and victorious in your name. I pray. Amen. And some of you need prayer. Sheila Bett. Wow, now they're really rolling in. You guys are too fast. I love how Jack Lanes puts out some additional psalms there. Linda Powers prays for the IDF. Ask this in your holy name. Praying Without Season, Cy Smith, 23. Continue to witness the gospel, even so. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, as the Aramaic says, come, Lord Jesus. David, Señor, the Lord is willing to prove himself to us. I'm so glad that you said that, and I'm so glad that you understand that. Prayers for the people of Israel, JM, thank you. For the hostages, JM, for the hostages. I never get tired of seeing you, all of you from different regions of the world are just going like an army. You just look at the blitz right now. It's just a blitz of prayers. And this is only a fraction, my friends. If you were to see what's actually going on all over the world with people praying, miracles for the IDF, people even coming to faith, groups of people going to Israel and solidarity trips and praying over Jewish people. There's a lot of good coming out of this. Well, I wish we could continue, but we got to close up somewhere. And so we're going to come back next week again, and we're just going to say this before we close out. You know, you want news? You want reliable sources? You want no sensationalism or doctoring of anything? No filters. And I warn you, there's no filters. If you subscribe to this channel, you're going to get it straight. There's members in the U.S. military that follow this. I know, because I know them. And I want to meet you this October. And there's a chance to do that on our Mediterranean cruise. Jason and I are going to be there. Pastor Barry Stagner and Amir Tsarfati want to meet you in person. That's available. We still have seats. We have limited seats. And it's almost full. So this is something that you definitely want to consider. Scan that code or go to our website. This time, we're just going to have to cap it off, friends. My challenge to you is be forgiven and forgive yourself and move forward. Have those hard conversations if you've wounded somebody. Do it. Get reconciled. That's part of being ready for the rapture. Taking care of business here on earth first. So, with that being said, I'm going to say the Aaronic blessing in Hebrew tonight. And if you want to just lay out your hands as a symbol of receiving, Yivarecha Adonai ve'ishmerecha, Ya'el Adonai panav elecha ve'yichunecha, Yisar Adonai panav elecha ve'asem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. And so with that peace, we leave tonight. And we say thank you, Jason. Thank you all of our viewing this. And share, so that we can pray and be one big army putting Jesus' hand of protection over his people, Israel. Until next week, goodbye and shalom.